Well, hi guys, how are you doing? Happy Saturday. I thought I'd do a quick update video. And in a moment, I actually want to answer a question that I get asked quite often and that I see floating around the internet. And actually it becomes sometimes a stumbling block for especially younger people that can keep people from engaging the faith in Christianity. So I want to answer the question, did God command the genocide of the Canaanite people, the Amorite people? Did God kill the innocents, if you will, and command the people of Israel to do that? And I can't give you a perfect answer because that would take longer, but give you a few points you may not have thought around that question. Good. A few quick housekeeping things as usual. If you are new to my ministry, my YouTube channel, my name is Graham. I am a Brit, French, nearly French these days, and an American. Live here where I am today in New England, lead a group of churches here, travel internationally. And lots of things going on. Hey, check out my website, gjm.org. I want to say a big thanks to all of the partners of my ministry who enable us to do so much of what we do in ministry. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. If you're not yet a partner, I want to pray about becoming one, link below. And lastly, I encourage you to pick up a copy of my new book, Personal Vision, with a foreword by Brian Simmons. My first book has just come out 2 weeks ago, and they are flying off the shelf like hot cookies. So encourage you to get one of those. Again, today is Easter weekend. I'm recording this on a Saturday. I'm going to be here in Sturbridge Worship Center tomorrow morning. That is March 31st. And then in NEF Church in Norwalk, Connecticut at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, preaching the gospel. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus sets men and women free. So if you are in New England and you're not part of a great faith preaching spirit-filled church, which is the only ones that one should be part of, I encourage you to join us tomorrow. And also check out our church in the Berkshires in Otis, Massachusetts. Good. So let's talk about this. Did God command the genocide of a whole people, in a sense? Again, those are words we're adding to the Bible, but in a certain sense, yes. And of course, people come to a question like that, usually saying, well, if the Bible claims God is good and God is perfect, God is all moral, how could he ask people to do such an immoral act? And at first view, most of us would look at a question like that and go, yeah, that makes sense. You know, especially at an emotional level, it feels like a real kind of got you question or got you answer or got you like answer this one. How could anybody possibly answer that? And yet, I just want to challenge you today to think a little more about the question. I think that question is deeper and the context to it is deeper than we might think. Now, again, full disclosure, again, if you disagree with me, great, drop me a comment, but please do listen to the whole video. Full disclaimer, I can't cover everything in about 10 minutes, but I want to give you some things you may not have completely thought of in the context of that. Here's my real challenge to you, and this will be a challenge to some people watching. So many of us have learned to think emotionally. We come to a question and we have emotional presuppositions around it that are so real and so big and so seemingly obvious to us that when somebody comes just simply with logic, we actually can't even engage with logic because we're so emotionally committed to a certain point of view. You know, there are certain subjects like racism, sexism, different things like that, that I'm not saying people are wrong in this, but sometimes people have got such an emotional point of view that it's like you can't even have a conversation anymore. If you disagree with my emotional point of view, you're a bad person. So if that's you, I encourage you to try to lay down your emotional thinking about this and look at this logically. Let me try and give you about four or five quick points of view, lenses or perspective on that question. The first one is going to be really difficult for some to swallow. And yet, please be the first person I've ever met on planet Earth who disagrees with me. You cannot disagree with what I'm about to say. And yet for 99% of my hearers, emotionally, you're about to light up like a pinball machine. Let me say this. It's simple. My point is simply this. If you are an atheist, if you are a naturalist, if you believe all there is in this world is just natural laws, natural consequences, You know, we come from evolution all the way back, and we're not quite sure how. One day there was a pool of water with minerals and lightning hit it. I'm not being cute. This is what people actually think, that they don't know how, and somehow single cell life form that developed into complex life, we can't reproduce that. Again, I'm not being sarcastic. Here's my point. If there is no God, listen to me carefully, there is no objective good or evil. And if there is no God, you actually consistently can't come to any question and say, why was this evil thing done? Why wasn't there a good thing done? Because good and evil don't mean anything. Now, I think most thinking atheists agree with that at a sort of like an intellectual level, but that's not how they live. They will get indignant. They will talk about good and evil. Somebody like a Sam Harris, who I like, I enjoy listening to his things, but he's not, he's like a blind man in a dark room trying to chase a black cat that isn't there, because he'll talk often about the moral landscape and morality and good and evil. And my point is, if there's no God, there is no objective good or evil. And we can pass our laws. You know, in Britain, we drive on the left. In America, we drive on the wrong side of the road. That's a joke, on the right-hand side of the road. All good and evil. If there's no God, then all good and evil are social constructs. The laws we have made to try and help society flow. If we all drove on different sides of the road, we'd end up hitting each other. And if our laws have no actual objective morality, they're just a code of society. If there is no actual good or evil, it's just the rules we make, then I say that lovingly, but you've got no right to question anybody about their morality. Now, again, some people will be pushing back on that. Let me give you a quick example. In the Nuremberg trials after the Second World War, in the town of Nuremberg, Nuremberg Castle, they put many of the Nazis that they'd captured on trial, like, going to say Hermann Hesse, no, that's the writer, Himmler and Hermann Goering, that's the one I was thinking about. They came to many of those leading Nazis after the Second World War, after the trial, and said, you know, you have done abominable things, the slaughter of the Jewish people, the genocide of the Jewish people. And many of the Nazis defended themselves in this manner. You can go back and look at the records. They basically said, this is victor's justice. They said, you Americans, Brits, Canadians, French, Russians, whatever, okay, you won the war, you beat us on the battlefield, so you get to come and put us on trial and hang us if you want. But they said, don't pretend you're any more moral than we are. They said, you Americans need to obey American law. But they said, we're the ones, we were the leaders, we decided what German law was. We passed laws that said you could do these things. And your law isn't any more real than our law. Your law isn't meant any more objective. Now, the judges on that trial, one of them was a Supreme Court judge from the US. You know, it's funny, they probably wouldn't say that today. One of them said, yes, you're right, there's American law, French law, British law, German law. We might differ over little things. But above the law, there is an objective law of the universe. There is God's law. And of course, the killing of any innocent person in that sense, like the slaughter of the Jewish Holocaust, was against God's law, absolutely. Now, my point is, if you don't have a God, you don't have any good or evil. There's no, if we went to the moon and we looked at a bunch of rocks and dust and said, this is a good rock and this is an evil rock, what would that mean? They're just rocks. And if all we are is rocks and it rained and we've got some cellular life and we think we have consciousness as some illusion that helps us reproduce our genes and pass on life, yeah, but we're not even sure if it's real or not. If that's your worldview, you have no right whatsoever to say anything's good or bad. Don't come to me with that thing. Now, point number two, you do though, if you're an atheist, you have a right to come and challenge me. You do have a right to come and say, hello, Graham, I'm an atheist. I don't believe there is a God. Ergo, there is no good and bad. But you can come to me and say, but Graham, you believe there is a God. You believe there is a good. You believe there is a bad. In your worldview, how do you explain this? Now, here's my second point. I would say to you this, the danger, I see a lot of people doing this saying, well, if God says he's good, why would God do these things? The problem is when we come to another worldview that we don't adopt and we just choose selectively some things about that worldview. If we came, forgive me, I'm a geek. So imagine we live in Star Wars universe and then we move over to Star Trek universe, where it's like different laws of physics seem to be around, and there's no planet Earth in Star Wars, and you know. My point is, if you're going to step into my worldview, the Christian worldview, the worldview declared to be true by the Bible, and say, well, your worldview says God is good. I agree. Your worldview says thou shalt murder. I agree. But then you're going to ignore hundreds of other things in my worldview. You're on dodgy ground. You don't have a right to come in and say, well, I'm going to accept these things about the Bible, but I'm going to completely ignore other things about the Bible. Okay? That's what nearly everybody coming to that question is doing. And I'll explain why in a moment. Come on. Point number three. Can I say this? Do you really think God just woke up one morning and said, you know what? I'm going to wipe out those Canaanite people. Yeah, I'm just going to like wipe them off the board. Does that sound like God? Is that like the God of the Bible? If you actually want to be consistent and read your Bible, 400 years earlier, Abraham tried to destroy that people and God said no. God said, he literally put it this way. He said, the cup of wrath, the cup of judgment isn't yet overflowing. I want to give them time to repent. And God gave that nation and that culture 400 years to repent. Now, to repent of what? I'll give you a few ideas, but they were full of idolatry. That nation had literally laws where nearly every person in it would sacrifice the firstborn child to a god called Moloch. They would literally, on top of hills, put great big steel, you know, metal idols with like an oven in the middle. Forgive me for grossing you out. And then pass their babies through the fire, and the babies would literally burn alive, like watching. And they would be beating drums to drown out the sound of the cries. Every single family in the land were doing that. And God had gone to them again and again. God was speaking to them in that day as a culture, as a people, as an ensemble, if you will, saying, stop this Barbary, turn from your ways to my ways. And I could go on and on and on and on. I don't want to gross you out. I'll get thrown off YouTube if I do that. But the sexual immorality, the bestiality, all of these disgusting things that nation was doing, God was bringing judgment, and God had given them years and years and years to repent. Just pause for a sec. How many times have we, you know, you'll hear an argument like this, well, why would God allow people to do this? Have you ever heard this one? Sometimes we'll see something like the Holocaust that took place with the Nazis, like Rwanda, a situation like that. And we go, well, if God is good, why doesn't God go and stop that genocide over there? You know, it's funny. In the Bible, when God did go and stop terrible, evil things, people then judge God for doing that. Do you see what I'm saying there? So we in effect want God to go and stop the bad guys in another country from doing a terrible thing. But when God does that, we get all upbent and out of shape about it. Now, if you're a thinking person, you're probably going to say in the comments something like this. Well, Graham, yeah, you're right. It was good that God went in there and slew those terrible priests that were killing babies and all the. But what about the innocent people? What about the babies? What about the children, the wives, the... You know, here's the thing we've got to realize, and point number four, and I'll finish with this one. And again, emotionally, this might be hard for you to grasp, but in the biblical worldview, this is real. And I tell you, it's actually true if you'll think about it. The problem is when we look at people and go, that's a good person and that's a bad person. That's a really bad sinner worthy of death. This is a really innocent person. Again, if we're going to watch the Star Wars, Star Trek, the God lens of everything, here's what you've got to grasp. There are no innocent people, and everybody is going to die. Let me say that again. There are no innocent people, and everybody is going to die. And the message of the Bible is not how everybody can have a really cool life and live really long and long and long. That's not the point. And there's multiple times in the Bible, God actually came to Moses and said to him, I am going to wipe out the whole of the nation of Israel. Yeah, I'm going to wipe out them. So people get this, oh, Israel like killed this whole nation. God said, I'm going to wipe out every single person in Israel. That's in the Bible, in the book of Exodus. And Moses actually pleaded with God. You know, everything in the New Testament is a journey towards Jesus. I'm recording this on Easter weekend, and the whole point of God spurring the people of Israel, of God giving hundreds of years for a nation to repent and all these things, is so that the whole of mankind could be saved. God's message to mankind is not there are some really bad people and I want to wipe them out, but there are good people like you and I. God's message to all of us is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God once came down to Noah and literally, you want to call it genocide, put every single person on planet Earth to death except 8 people. Noah, Mrs. Noah, and his 3 sons and their wives. Only 8 of those were saved. Why? That Messiah could be brought back. That God would give every man and woman a chance to repent. And again, I want you to think that through. You see, it offends us in our Western sensibilities. We go, wouldn't it be terrible for a child of 8 to die? But it's actually just as terrible for a child of 80 to die, or 128 if you live that long. Yeah, it's appointed once for all to die, and after that, the judgment. And the question we should be asking ourselves is not how long can I get to live on planet Earth and whatever, and I go around judging everybody. I should be pointing the finger at myself saying, I am a sinner, I'm worthy of death, I've fallen short of the glory of God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. Now, there's a lot in that message. Go back and think over some of that. There's many other points I could make to you about that. I'll throw one quick out. You know, many scholars actually believe, if you look at those passages, God said, go into the land and destroy all the people. 3 or 4 verses later, he says, but when you're living in the land, don't marry the wives, don't let your kids marry the daughters of those people. And a lot of people even think there was some hyperbole going on. Again, there's many other explanations for that passage, but my point is simply this. What will you do with Jesus? Are you judging God? Because I tell you, God doesn't need to be judged by you. Are you there saying there is no God, there is no good or evil, but God, I judge you? Yeah, a wise person once said to an atheist, I don't believe in the God you don't believe in. And if you're watching this saying, I don't believe in God and God's nasty, then nasty. Yeah, I don't believe in your God either. I want you to meet the God of the Bible. Jesus came and showed the world what God is like. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Selah. And if you want to know God in your life, call on him right now. He's near to all who call on him. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, Selah. Thanks for watching the video, a little bit longer today. Hit that subscribe button down there. Share this, drop me a comment, thumbs up, thumbs down. And I'd love to hear from you.